Hi, hello, and welcome. This is the Zonecast, where we interview emerging professionals, entrepreneurs, and academics. And today we have with us on the show Alex Bouazis. He is the founder and CEO of Deel. Hi, Alex. How are you? Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. How are you doing?
I am very good. I am very good. And thank you for taking the time to be on the show. And I'm definitely excited about this particular episode and talking to you about your rich and extensive background. Can you share your professional and personal background?
Of course, really happy to. And thank you so much for taking the time today. So my personal background, I was born and raised in France. So I'm originally French. I grew up in France. And when I was pretty young, I moved to Israel to do my BA in engineering. After that, I went to do my master's in engineering at MIT in the United States. That's actually where I met my co-founder. I was always drawn to entrepreneurship. So I started building companies back then, but for some reason decided to start a PhD at Imperial College in the UK. So I moved to the UK. After a year of research, which was a lot of fun and very interesting, I decided that my path was more entrepreneurship driven rather than research driven. So moved back to Israel, where I started a bunch of companies. I got involved in venture capital and did quite a few fun things, some that did pretty well, some that did a little less good. And eventually started Deel in December 2018, beginning of 2019, which I think we're going to talk about today. I don't know if you want me to give an introduction about that as well, but happy to.
Yeah, absolutely. Can you talk about Deel, what it is, and what kind of products and solutions you offer?
Of course. So we started Deel, like I was saying, early 2019 with the purpose and the mission to help companies hire around the world. We want to make it really easy for you to work with anyone, anywhere, in a click of a button. So we started Deel and we got into what's called Y Combinator. If you're not familiar with that, it's a cool accelerator in the Bay Area that helped build really great companies like Airbnb or Twitch. And that's where we kind of started. So me and Shua, my co-founder, we had met at school, maybe 10 years before that. And we kind of reunited to build Deel. With her international backgrounds and mine, there was a strong, product founder fit, let's say. And that's when our Deel journey came about to be. And today, we serve about 1,500-ish companies around the world. Amazing companies like Notion or Reddit or others that are hiring and want to have access to the best talents, regardless of where they are. And we help them do that, from the compliance to the payroll to the payments. All it takes for you to start working with someone in any country in the world is literally clicking a few buttons now.
Mm-hmm. So can you explain how Deel is different than existing solutions, or if you have a particular advantage over existing solutions available in the market?
Of course. So traditionally, there is three ways to hire outside of your country. The first one is you can open a new subsidiary. So let's say I'm a US company, I want to hire in Canada, or reverse, I'm a Canadian company, I want to hire in the US. So the first way to do that is to open a company in the US and then employ people across states. The second way to do that is hiring them as independent contractors. But obviously, there is drawbacks to that, and you need to think about how to do it right. Hiring someone as an independent contractor in Colombia is very different than in France, and is very different than in India. So helping you through the compliance processes of that is something that we do, and streamlining the end-to-end process as well. And the last piece is hiring someone as a full-time employee for a third-party company. So you want to hire someone in France, you want to give them full benefits, taxes, and the same experience as a local employee, then you'd have to work with someone locally. And, so far, most of the companies until recently were always, local agencies that would hire people on your behalf. It's very, very expensive. It's not a really great experience. What we basically built is a centralized system where it takes a couple minutes, whether you want to work with someone as an independent contractor, the right compliant workflow, or as an employee, where we have a mix of our own subsidiaries in country and we hire those people as employees, or in countries that are a bit more complicated through very strong local partner, we make it really easy for you to onboard them. Traditionally, most of the people we talk to, they have really no idea on how to do it right. They're either using old school incumbents and manual processes, which is not really scalable and take months to onboard people as employees, or they're just paying people when they're independent contractors directly without any understanding of how a contract between a Canadian in Quebec, for example, is different than if that person was in Ontario, right, or British Columbia. So really, we're taking something that was really manual and service driven and automating a lot of it into a simple workflow that not only helps you be compliant, but also gives a really amazing experience to your team. I mean, I'm a bit biased, but I think it's a pretty amazing experience.
That's great. One thing I obviously want to talk to you about is your extensive fundraising experience. You've had multiple rounds, a seed round, Series A, Series B, and you've raised about $50 million US so far. Can you talk about your fundraising experience and how long it took and what the whole experience was like?
Of course. I think we've got a very atypical fundraising story, to be honest. So like a lot of companies in 2019, we were kind of starting out. We got really lucky. We got into Y Combinator, which is a very strong accelerator for a lot of companies. Post demo day, so that's like the peak of Y Combinator, let's say, from a fundraising perspective. We raised a seed round of about $4 million, backed by really amazing investors like Elad Gil and Daniel Gross and other strong investors. We then went on to build. So we built for about a year because we're building a very complex solution, whether it's on the payment infrastructure side or the compliance side, to really help our customers give a great experience. And around March last year, we started hitting our inflection point where a lot of the infrastructure we had built started working and our customers were happy and we started seeing more and more growth. And that's when Andreessen Horowitz, which is a pretty great fund, so Anish from Andreessen reached out and eventually we raised our Series A with him. The process was pretty short, actually, about 3 weeks. And that was the first big Series A and one of the first runs of the company. And following that, we really started seeing pretty amazing growth. Which led to a term sheet about 3 months later, led by Yasmin at Spark Capital. So, that was another round pretty quickly, and A and B back to back is something that's a bit uncommon. And yeah, that round was even faster than the first one, to be honest. And, it's basically been really great for us because as a company, we're building something big. We're building, the pipes and the picks and shovels to help companies hire remotely and having, some of the best backers in the world. And the growth that we had over the last 2 years has been pretty great, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. So were you concerned that as you're raising this amount of capital, you are also losing ownership and equity and some future profits because you have investors? Was that your concern? Did that thought come to mind?
Yeah, of course. When you're fundraising, you need to think about the different variables, and dilution is definitely a variable that you need to think about from a stage perspective, from the valuation perspective, and how you are as a business. I think, it's easy to look back and say our growth has been amazing and we could have waited out a little more and, maybe optimize on a certain amount of equity, maybe a couple percent. But, on the flip side, we brought on the best backers at the right time and we're hitting a market that has a really big need today with the explosion in general of remote work. People are going back home. People are starting to hire around the world, and the timing was really right. So, I think it made a lot of sense for us, and really happy with our decision. And as a company, we've taken the high growth startup path, which means that we are, putting the right things in place to sustain that growth and to really hit those inflection points even faster so that the company can get to where it's meant to be faster.
Mm-hmm. And one difficult thing between the investor and the founder can be to agree on how to value the company, the valuation. So were you able to get the valuation that you believe in? And how did you value the company? Was it based on a multiple of future sales, like sales projections? So if you can talk about that.
It's always very different. It matters on which round. So, on the seed round, it was mainly safe. So it was more of opportunistic, who are the best investors we can work with and who wants to back us at this very, very early stage of the company. On the Series A stage, at both stages, we decided to think, put a few things in the balance, right? Like Andreessen Horowitz is a really big fund. So would we take a bit more dilution to work with the best in the market? Probably yes, right? So thinking through that was really important. When we thought about valuation, everything was a bit of a dynamic, right? The way I like to think about it is less about percentage, like of growth and multiple on revenues, which I think are traditionally maybe the better ways for a lot of investors to do that. We were at a stage where as a nice company that's growing really fast in a very interesting market with a very strong team, we had a bit more leeway in terms of setting our own terms. So my idea of that is that I did not want to sell more than X percent at the company at the moment we raised. And that was what I was willing to do. So that's how we kind of ended up agreeing on a price that made sense for both of us.
Mm-hmm. So can you talk about the due diligence process? Because that is typically the difficult and intense part of a fundraising round is the due diligence by investors. So what the process was like for you, and was it particularly easy for you to convince the investors of the value of your company and the business case as to why they should invest?
Yeah, I think, you know, as a company, there's a few things you need to think about. First of all, you know, although I think we made a pretty strong business case in general, as a company, we were doing really well. So there needed to be a business case from the investors for us to make sense to take their money. You know, nowadays, it's true. Nowadays, capital is less scarce, right? And, you know, fundraising is a bit, you know, if you've got the right people involved, if you have the right momentum, the right traction, fundraising is, let's say, a little easier than it used to be. So we definitely had, you know, more than one investor is giving us term sheets, and we had to figure out who we thought was the best for us. So that's really number one and what you need to keep thinking about. I mean, from a diligence process, there's kind of two parts, right? The first one is, the courting, the dance around getting the first term sheets with the investors that you've been talking to, maybe getting a couple of counter offers and a couple other term sheets to decide who you want to work with. And, you know, that process is you and the investors getting to know each other. Luckily for us, both our board members and our investors, have strong convictions about the company. We're really excited about the business. And, you know, you can read the different articles that they wrote online at the moment they invested. And we built a pretty strong rapport where we felt very comfortable with them being the right fit for us and vice versa. And then obviously there is the due diligence from a legal perspective, which takes 3 weeks to 1 month, where, you know, lawyers talk to each other and figure out all that everything is, you know, certain and everything is clear and that it's good moving forward. I think one of the lucky things that we had at Deel is that our Series B was so close to our Series A that the process of due diligence on our Series A was a lot, our Series B was a lot quicker, because a lot of the terms were actually exactly the same, and a lot of the data room that we had built for investors was more or less similar. So on that front, we got pretty lucky, and we paid a little less lawyer fees, let's say. But in general, you know, I think it goes two ways. You gotta find people that believe in your business, that believe in you, and you gotta believe in them.
Well, it's kind of nice that you had some kind of position where you did not have to take whatever offer was available. You had some leverage to negotiate, and you had investors, I guess, competing for your company and equity. So that's a good position to be in.
In general, you don't want to be fundraising unless you've got leverage and unless you've got traction. It's easy for me to say, right? It's easy for people to say that, but a seed round is very different. But when you get to a Series A, when you get to a Series B, you want to have momentum on your side, and you want to be the one dictating the terms. If not, you're going to be in a bad spot.
I agree. That's a very good point, even though it's easy to say. But you really want to go into the negotiation with the ability to walk away from the negotiation if it doesn't suit your needs or your preferences, rather than being in a weak position where you just take whatever is available. So that's a very, very good point. So all your fundraising rounds, the seed round and the Series A and the Series B, how much time do they all take combined? I'm guessing 6 to 8 months?
Yeah, but those are very different processes, right? So, you know, our Series A took us a month and a half, maybe in total end to end. Our Series B took us the same amount of time end to end, but in the middle, I wasn't really fundraising, right? So I wouldn't put them in the same bucket.
Okay. And are your investors able to bring anything else on the table besides the financial capital? Are they helping you opening doors, find customers, enter new markets? I'm guessing maybe that was also part of your criteria.
Of course. If you can't help, you shouldn't be on the cap table. that's basically how I think about it. But yeah, you know, my investors have been great. All of them, all of the ones that are involved on a more day-to-day basis have helped us on every single front, whether it's, at the beginning, it was customer intros. It's still customers intros. A big thing that they help on is hiring. You know, if you want to build a huge company that scales and has the right infrastructure on all fronts, you need the best people. And oftentimes the best people are hard to find, right? When you're, when let's say you're a first time or second time founder, you know, the best people have jobs. You need to bring them. And this is a whole process that strong investors are definitely a strong value add on. And generally, you know, it's good perspective, having some experienced people that can look at the business, that see some of the gaps and are very involved and help you see things that are maybe in front of you and you're not seeing is something that, you know, you should definitely leverage if you can, right? So, yeah, it's definitely some of the criteria. And I think we've been pretty lucky so far that we, you know, we're backed by amazing teams that truly care about what we're building, which is very critical, right? They see the world the way we do. And second, they are able to rally the right people behind us.
Yeah, that's definitely important to have, you know, some other assistance besides the financial capital, because, you know, investors are experienced and connected people, and they have so much wealth of experience because they invest in different companies, and, you know, they have that kind of exposure. So getting that kind of assistance is great. So after all these fundraising rounds, how much equity do you still have left? Are you able to talk about that? Are you still a majority stakeholder?
Yes, and I'm satisfied with the level of equity I have so far.
Okay, that's good. So you still have enough ownership and control, which is good for you. Can you talk about your traction since inception in terms of you know, the markets that you do business in and the number of customers you've acquired and sales? Can you talk about that?
Yeah, of course. You know, we are a special-ish company. I say special, but again, I'm biased on that front because we actually serve companies from the SMBs all the way to public ones. So today we have customers on literally every single stage because we have a very niche product, right? We come in and we're going to help you giving a great experience and be compliant and be able to set up really fast for the people that are not local. Right. So maybe in Canada, you'll use ADP and we're adjacent to an ADP, right? We come right next to it and we help your HR team, your fintech, your accounting team, and all of that streamline those processes. So what's interesting about that is that today, most companies, regardless of their stage, don't really have a solution for that, which is great for us. So yeah, you know, today we serve about 1,500 customers. Can't exactly tell you the number of people that are getting paid on deal, but you know, it's in the tens of thousands, which is really great. And as a company, we're evolving to serve bigger and bigger companies because the level of compliance and security we bring to them is something that that they're looking for. And even some of those bigger companies haven't figured out what we're doing today, and they can lean on us for it.
Mm-hmm. So, do you have any direct competitors? Are there companies which do exactly or very close to what you do? Or are you like a completely disruptive company in the space?
Yes, I think we're pretty disruptive, but I think any strong market, specifically a market as let's say on the hotter side as ours, will always have competitors, right? And to some extent, companies have existed in this market forever, right? If you look at you know, the globalization partner or the Velocity Globals of the world, which are a bit more incumbent, although they're great companies, right? They've been on the market for 7-10 years. I think where we're very special is there's a few fronts. One is we're fully tech enabled, and we, you know, unless, you know, most companies traditionally would enable you to hire someone, let's say in Canada tomorrow as an employee, where they don't have a structure in 3 weeks, 1 month. We can do that in 10 minutes, right? So you can have someone starting for you as a full-time employee in any of the provinces in Canada in 5 minutes. On top of that, one thing that's very particular about Deel is the ability to handle independent contractors around the world, wherever they are. So although the EOR model, the model where you can employ other people, is a bit more done and is a bit more known, I'd argue that we probably won't have one of the best products, if not the best on the market. On the contractor model, we've got something that no one really has, right? We've approached the problem from a very unique angle, and that solution has no competitor. And that's actually one of the strongest things we ever done, and one of the reasons a lot of companies use us.
Mm-hmm. So you definitely have good traction, and you have fundraised significantly. What are your milestones for the next 1 to 2 years? Are you planning to fundraise more? Are you planning to enter new markets? What's on your agenda?
Yeah, we have tons of things that we need to do. We're only getting started, right? So I don't like fundraising. So my role is not to fundraise, but let investors come to us when the time is right and the right partner comes along. So I wouldn't comment too much on the fundraising side, but in terms of execution, you know, we want to help tens of thousands of companies. We have so many products that we're excited to push forward. Like today, yesterday, I think we released the ability to give an equipment to someone in a compliant way, wherever they are in the world, signing the right contracts for that and the whole flow to manage that. So, I mean, there's so much we want to build and we're really excited about enabling teams around the world, right? People like me and you, right, with diverse background that are working, that want to work for the best companies regardless of their location. So yeah, you know, we have a pretty heavy roadmap of awesome stuff we want to ship, and you guys should definitely check it out.
Well, that's pretty amazing. Well, Alex, it has been very nice speaking with you and learning about your background and your fundraising experience and your company and your disruptive product. So thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show.
Of course. Thank you for having me. And looking forward to having more and more companies hire around the world. And, the only thing they got to do is they just got to start. Talent is everywhere. And regardless whether it's in Zimbabwe or in Canada, you just got to give people a chance and we'll help you do the rest.
Yeah, absolutely. Can you share your website? How can people learn more about your company and reach out to you?
Of course. So our company is Deel, D-E-E-L. So on Twitter at Deel, and our website is letsdeel.com. And my personal Twitter handle is BoisesAlex. So if you have any questions, you can shoot me a DM. My DMs are open, and excited to help more and more companies. So feel free to reach out.
Perfect. Thank you, Alex. Listeners, I hope you enjoyed this episode and you get a chance to learn about Deel and Alex and your amazing story and your amazing fundraising experience. And hopefully you're able to learn from that and benefit from that and apply that amazing knowledge for your own benefit. And if you have any questions, as Alex mentioned, you can visit the website and learn more. And thank you so much for listening to Zonecast, and stay tuned for more episodes.